Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's March 26, 2014. If you were tuned in yesterday, you understand Wednesday and Friday co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo is enjoying a much-needed vacation with his family in Florida. And so a few days ago, we called up author Jessica Thompson, who just released a book, Exploring Grace Together, 40 Devotionals for the Family. And so Jason and I got so excited about that conversation. He returned and we talked about Jessica Thompson's list of 10 How to Make Your Kids Hate Family Devotions. So we recorded that conversation, and you'll hear that in just a moment. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. And at the end of this broadcast, we'll give away a copy during the morning edition and evening edition of Mark and Friends of Jessica Thompson's book, Exploring Grace Together. So keep listening. We'll begin with Pastor Jason Schiffo sharing, and the overarching theme is family devotional time should be where we show our kids how great it is to be with God. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo.
I think it's important if we're really honest, and one of the things that Jessica hit home on was this idea of confession. And I think confession is really, really an important thing. Although I think that we believe, though, that confession is first and foremost my telling, say, confessing something to you, Mark. But really, confession needs to begin where I confess to myself that there is a problem, where I confess to myself that there's something that I can't do. And I think that if we're all as parents are really honest, now you're like JV parent right now.
Big time.
You just got your letter jacket, you know.
Yeah.
But if we're all really honest as parents, it's probably the one area of our life, our kids, that we grieve the most. We grieve the most, how will they be successful, will they do, even, I've talked to so many parents, even parents who you would, from the outside, go, these are perfect parents. They have some sort of thing that they're grieving where their kids are concerned, I hope they make these good decisions, I hope they do this, I hope they do this. And really, if we read the Bible and we understand, we don't have to grieve those things with our kids. Instead, we're on the journey with that with our kids, and then we need to turn that grief or that grieving or that worry or that anxiety or that frustration over to Jesus. I mean, Jesus says in Matthew, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't worry about any of those things. The ESV says, do not be anxious for today, for tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. And I think built into that anxiousness of today is the anxiousness and anxiety where my kids are concerned. And I think that we take that into some places where we're trying to show them God, where we're trying to model for them or share the gospel with them. I know if I'm going to be honest with, and I want to be honest. I always want to, whenever I can, be honest. Devotionals are hard for me with my kids because I come into it with a preconceived notion of what the result should be from this devotional, like a wow, you know, and yet they're kids. I mean, they're 2 and they're 5 and they're 8. You know, you don't get the results that you think you're going to get. But when I'm leaning into that, I think the results are what I think they should be. It's my strength. It's not his strength. It's not the strength of his spirit. God doesn't want to pour into my kids more than they can handle today that would actually drive them away from him instead of he lovingly. You know, I was just thinking this past weekend, we were talking about Romans 8, where it says, as you become sons and you become adopted by God, and then you cry out, Abba, Father. I just keep thinking that God wants to woo us into his presence so that when we get near him, we'll nuzzle right into him and we'll go, Abba, Father. Instead of, you know, kind of grabbing us and yanking us in. I mean, that would be totally counter to the character of God. And so it's the same with my kids, and it's the same effect that we have with things like devotionals. But I appreciate that Jessica has written this from a standpoint of if you do these things, most likely your kids will not be engaged in devotionals. They won't want to be a part of devotionals. Devotional time, and they'll go,
I hate this time.
Right, and you'll become even more frustrated because I know in our own house we've done this. And you're, you know, you're going, and then Jesus said, and you look over and their eyes are closed. they're kicking their feet or they're staring off into space and they got a drool coming down their mouth. I mean, you're just like, hello, we're talking about Jesus here. Can't you pay attention? You know, and the kids are like, yeah, but Dad, like, your Jesus has no grace in this devotional. Your Jesus is, I don't understand. And so it's important to understand. I think it's a great list, so I think we should just jump in and dive in and go
through
it.
And I think Jessica on yesterday's program was talking about as parents, because it's like the greatest thing we can instill in our kids is a love for God. So we press into them, and we want to control the situation. And then we get frustrated because, and I quote you yesterday, because we're not leaning into the Holy Spirit. We're leaning into our own skills and
methods.
Doesn't
the Apostle Paul say in Philippians that everything else is rubbish except for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ? And then he says, and I press on into him, not into all the other things that are about him, but I press into him, and then it's through him that all the other things happen. He talks about future glorification and eternity, but all those eternity is simply the culmination of all the things that we're doing here. And so I agree with you 100%, Mark. We just don't lean into Jesus. So number one here in her list of how to make your kids hate family devotionals. By the way, these are at the resurgence.com/authors/Jessica Thompson. There you'll see a list of her different blog posts that she's had, and this is number one in there. It's actually the most popular. I can't figure out why.
And if that's too hard to remember, they can always go to the Community Evangelical Free Church. Give that
address. You can go to communityfreechurch.com, click on our family tab, and then follow that to our family website, and under the family ministry, you'll see a collection of journal articles that we're beginning to amass so that we can help equip parents. We're passionate about equipping parents to be able to be good parents, and we want to pull a lot of resources. We realize that if you just hear my voice, that's not enough, because I'm no expert. I'm a sanctified work in progress. So we're pulling some of these people who are just God has gifted in amazing ways, like Jessica. But the first one is to hold, and we've already even almost talked about this, hold firmly to the belief that your consistency and faithfulness in doing family devotions will, in fact, ensure your child's salvation.
Yeah, son, get down there. Get to the table now. We do this every Monday night. Will you get there? Hurry up. Sit down. Yeah. Force them.
You know, I even think about this. Recently, I was with the Awana kids, and we're doing Awana, and one of the things we do is we pray. And I actually got this from when Mark was helping me do Awana. You know, we say in the beginning, well, let's take our prayer requests, and now we're going to talk to God, so let's bow our heads because, you know, we're talking to God Almighty. Let's have the reverence. And I was watching them, and I was thinking, wait a second. Am I being legalistic by telling them that they need to bow their heads and do that? Because one kid didn't have his head bowed. He was looking up, but clearly he was honoring God. And so I was thinking, am I trying to put some handles on here that don't need to be on here and ensuring that somehow we'll get some sort of in this prayer time result because we do it a certain way? And I think there are spiritual practices that we have to do a certain way so that they are God-honoring and they're reverent. But I think we have to be careful, and I think devotionals are one of the ways. I mean, I know myself, I go, well, if it's not at 6:30, I don't know when we're going to do it. It's as if, like, at the Schiffo home, 6:30 is the only time God's word can be opened and has power.
Yeah.
You know, other than, you know, well, hey, let's be okay here, here, and here. Or let's be okay with just one verse right here instead of trying to get through the whole thing.
Yeah. And consistency is important in being faithful to doing it. But when it becomes like legalistic or the law or because of circumstances, I don't care if your best friend is here and he's only here for 10 minutes. We're doing devotions now. It's like
right. You're
losing them.
Number two, don't allow your kids to act like kids. Make sure they sit completely still and listen to every word you say. Oh, man, this one, I got three of them. I got four, but one of them, he's still just trying to figure out where his fingers are at. But we deal with this one all the time. I look over and kicking his feet. He's staring off into space. One of them has their finger in their nose.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're like, come on, we're doing devotional time here. You know, and they're like, we hear you. You know, but I mean, just understanding that God has gifted them and created them in their own way. You know, the verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. That's not the way he should go, is not the way I believe he should go in that scripture. The actual Hebrew there says, train up a child in the tenor of his ways, in his gifts, in the ways God has intimately and divinely created him to be him. And when he is old, he's an elder, he will not depart. That verse actually is connected to the do not exasperate your children. When I try and make my kid, who's clearly an artist, become a lawyer, I exasperate him. And he doesn't want anything to do with the things that I'm trying to teach him when he gets older. He's going to rebel and run from me. And so we have to be careful with that and make sure that we allow our kids to be kids. Because you know what? Maybe some of us as adults, this is me. Maybe some of us as adults need to act a little more like kids sometimes. And I don't mean childish, but have a childlike quality where we hear things differently.
And, you know, I always have wondered, like, whoever created those little pin-on ties, like, why does our 8 or 9-year-old have to go to church with the sport coat on, with the tie on? It's like, let the kid, now I realize you can't have them in pajamas, but, you know, let them be kids. And that's what I learned through Awana. Some of the boys are filled with a lot of energy. So sometimes you allow them to stand up or walk around, as long as they're not being disruptive. You know, some kids just can't be seated and still. And it's like, gosh, give them the freedom to be kids.
Yeah. Number 3, expect immediate visible results. If they aren't on their knees crying and asking for forgiveness by the end of the devotional time, you've done something wrong. You know, this one hits home because now I know why those altar calls I keep doing at home just don't work.
Yeah.
I mean, I get up, man, and I'm just spitting and yelling, and the gospel is coming out. And I thought for sure the kids would come up and I'd baptize them in the kitchen sink, but it's just not happening. You know, and I think that that's really true. I mean, we're being conformed and formed into the image of God. And that sanctification process, it starts on the inside. You know, and God's rooting around in their hearts and getting them to understand and to know. He's revealing himself, slowly pulling the curtain back for them to see it. We should be careful how we're doing that, because I think some of us are probably turning the fire hose on, trying to give our kids a bath in something that they can only handle drips.
Yeah. And how we're that way, I mean, I could look back 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I can even change almost completely tomorrow as I allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through me. It's like I could be a different person, and yet we want instant results for our kids because we know what's best for them. Yet, again, it's us wanting to control the situation or control them.
Yeah, I think so. I agree totally. The longer the time you spend reading the Bible, the better. Most TV programs are at least a half an hour long, so they can sit for that long and pay attention to God's Word being read to them. Yeah, you know what? And isn't that one just the same for us adults? I mean, I know that I run across people all the time who say, well, I feel bad that I don't read this much. And I said, you know what, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I'm your pastor, and sometimes, some days, my devotional is one verse because I can't get past that one verse. I mean, you know, this past week, I would say the two of my devotional days were blown up because I'm reading this little verse in Romans 8 that says, I can call God Abba Father. And I mean, I was just on my knees in tears, just like, I can't believe this verse. It's a train wreck for me. And I didn't get into all the other things I wanted to read or thought I should read or legalistically believed I should read, but God was doing something in and through me, a work through those just those few words. You know, it's as if we believe that God's power only resides in chapters and not words. And God's power is in intimately and divinely in single words. God could use the word "the" in the scriptures to radically change your life if he wanted to in this moment. You could be like, and you didn't even get to the "and Jesus went." You just get to the "and I'm sinful, help me, Lord." You know, and you come in forgiveness. And I mean, God can do that. So we have to be careful. Plus, let's just be honest with ourselves. I'm going to be really honest. My devotional time doesn't hold a hair to Caillou or to Elmo or to Barney or to any of those kinds of things. My kind of like, and then Jesus said, I'm not as entertaining. So don't go, well, you know, you can watch that show for all, I don't understand why. You know what? You're not as entertaining as those things.
What about if you play that Frozen music as the backdrop as you do
well,
your devotional
reading?
Well,
that Frozen music is pretty.
Yeah.
Then she gets mad at me.
Yeah.
She gets mad. My daughter gets really mad. She doesn't want me to, I'm not allowed to sing it. I'm not allowed to do anything with it. She says I don't know anything about
yes.
it. Number 5, this is crucial. This is really crucial one. Don't let them see your weakness. Make sure that if there is a question about confessing sin, you point out their sin and never bring up the way you fail. I shared on that program, if you remember, with Jessica, that was a really a turning point for me with my son, is that my son had it was really kind of funny. We're at Awana, and the lady who oversees all of the Awana, she comes up to me and she goes, "So, your son told me that you and your wife took his Awana book away and you guys lost it."
Oh, jeez.
And I go, "What?" She goes, "Well, either you lost it, he's not sure if you lost it, or you just don't want to give it back." And I'm going, "What?" And she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Don't worry, he's only told all the teachers and everybody this." I'm like, "What?" Only the pastor of the church. I stole his Awana book. So when we got home, I sat down and I said, "Hey, Jacob, what happened with your book?" He goes, "Well, I can't find it." And I said, "Well, why did you tell everybody that we took it?" And he goes, "Well, I mean, I think I saw you one day with it.
Oh, jeez.
And I said, Jacob, you didn't see me with that book. He goes, I know. He goes, I lost it, and I felt bad that I lost it. And I said, and right away I wanted to be like, well, that's because you're bad, and I can't believe it, and I can't, you know. So right away the punishment was he's going to write an apology letter to his teachers at Awana to let them know that he apologized for lying. And then I realized I've done the same thing many times. And so I said, buddy, you know what? First of all, I want to tell you how I failed in this. And number two, I want to help you write that letter. Because I failed, and there are many letters I probably myself should have written. And I think that it's just important to confess to our kids how Jesus has worked in our life. For many of us, our kids are understanding God the Father through their earthly father. And so us confessing sin and doing that gives them an understanding that they can come before their Father, their Heavenly Father, and confess their sins, confess the ways that they've fallen apart. But we have to model it. If we model just perfect Christianity, they're going to leave, because when they get on their own, they get their own legs beneath them, like when they get 20 and they get out, they're going to realize Christians are not perfect. And then they're going to run away from the church, because now they're going to think that everywhere they go is hypocritical. And I think that that's what's happened in our out of our kind of maybe the last 20 or 30 years of maybe some unfortunate legalism in that. As our Christian kids grew up, they went to start going to church, and they go, wait a second, my understanding is that everybody here is supposed to be perfect, and then these people are perfect. So we've got a whole generation of kids who are looking for a perfect church, and those churches don't exist because churches are filled with imperfect people, sinners.
Four more in about 5 minutes.
Four more in 5 minutes. Well, there's two that I didn't include in my list when I posted it because I thought this one just doesn't make any sense to me. We should ask Jessica about it. Never mention grace. Don't talk about how Jesus loves and forgives sinners. Make sure they know that the only way to please God is their obedience to you.
Yeah, she referenced that a little growing up in a Christian home with wonderful parents, and yet somehow they left Jesus out of the equation as the years grew on. Once you accepted Christ, then you started following all these rules. So there is that tendency where we want to measure everyone by following the rules, tithing, are they going to church with regularity, do they have the daily devotionals, all these kind of steps that they need to take in order to be the Christian.
Well, this also strikes me, as even as I'm thinking about it right now, that if I mention and teach grace to my kids, then the expectation for my kids is now I'm going to have to model grace, which means that, say, when my kids fail, I'm going to now have to be more graceful than I am angry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to extend grace in such a way. Or they're going to go, Dad, you're kind of a, you know, luckily my son hasn't learned the word hypocrite yet. Because he might now today. Dad. Number seven, force them into religious duties even if they don't want to perform them. Everyone better pray, and they better pray for at least 5 minutes if they want to get up from the table.
Hey, in case people are just tuning in, these are how to make your kids hate devotions. So in case you're wondering, what? What is he saying there? How to make your kids hate devotions. Yeah, I think we just have to be very careful. We don't have them performing all these religious duties because they're supposed to perform them. As you and I had talked off air, the fruits of the Spirit evidence, are we helping them to lean into the Holy Spirit, that love, the joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control? Don't force them into anything. Help them enter into that relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
And number eight, start out every devotional time with the reading of Ephesians 6:1-3, which is, children, obey your parents yes. in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy a long life on this earth. But she says, do not ever talk about verse 4, which is, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Yeah, I mean, really, how many times have we said that? It's going to go well for you if you just do X, Y, and Z. And in doing that, we've exasperated them, you know, not understanding. You know, my son, Jacob, is introspective. He thinks about everything. He really, on a deep level, thinks about a lot of things. Molly, she's a worshiper. She's not, there's no depth going on with her, at least right now. She's just like wants to dance and sing. When Jacob prays. He has trouble almost because he goes, well, I want to find good words and I want to do this. Molly, she just prays like, Lord, you know, get a watering can and sprinkle love all over all of us. Mm. And so it's very easy to exasperate Jacob and go, you know, you better do this or it's not going to go well for you or it's not going to do that. And as a parent who's being honest, if we're all honest, we've probably all done those kinds of things where we said, you know, you better or else what? My wife pointed out to me one time, she said, you know, it's really scary if you use the term or else because that denotes like a finality to it. And she said, you've done all those things,
oh,
and you're still here. She goes, so don't try and present this like if you just click the seatbelt, they survive. She goes, because that's not, or, you know, she said, that's not healthy or helpful. Make sure that Carmen's the champion is always playing in the background. I don't know what that is.
Hey, where did that one come from?
That's number 9. On my blog, you don't get number 9. I took that one out because I didn't understand what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what Carmen's the champion was. But I'm guessing it's just, you know, I think it's probably, or the Valkyrie, you know, right? Dun, 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 dun. You know, we are meeting the Lord right now. And let's be honest, too. If we frame devotionals in this way, that like, now come, children, so we might meet with the Lord, God. Hmm. If we do that, we're not teaching them a theology that lets them know that they can meet with the Lord all day long. That my son, while he walks to the bus, can be talking with Jesus, that he can meet Jesus on the bus. And the other part of that that I think is really scary, as I've been really thinking about this thing about how we're going to power parents, if I build that theology of God is kind of just in this time, this is the time when we are going to do this, that then my son does not feel, or my daughter does not feel, like they have an availability to meet with God anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, at my kitchen table is not when they're probably going to need God the most. They're going to need God the most when they're on the bus and the kid's bullying them. They're going to need God the most when they're at school and there's this moment of, do I make this decision or that decision? They're going to need God and God's Holy Spirit in those moments, not around the kitchen table where they've got my protection and my wife and I's leading.
Mm-hmm.
The last one, number 10. Don't be flexible at all. They must learn discipline. Did the hamster die and everyone's crying? Skip the funeral because it's devotion time.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, really, how many times have we done that? Hey, I don't care if we've got this going on tonight, then we better do these devotionals earlier in the day, or we want to stay on track. You know, it's like I think I said at our church the other day, we're reading the Bible in a year. And I said, you know what, if you're just today is maybe the first day you're getting into reading the Bible for the year, don't worry about everything you missed. You'll get that next year, because my hope is that as you read God's Word, you're going to fall in love with God's Word, and you're going to want to read that next year. But don't allow what you've missed, or don't allow what you've forgotten, or don't allow what you've let go to ruin the opportunity that you have today to meet with God. And I think that if we do any of these things, again, you can go and you can read them over, or go to the archive, and maybe you can laugh along for a second time with us as we're going through them. But I think if you do these things, you're going to drive your kids away from wanting to be near God. Devotional time should be a time where we're showing them how great it is as a family to be near God. We're painting them a picture that they have access to God and can be with God and can be empowered by God all day long. But that here, what a wonderful time it is as a family that we do that. And our hope would be that, you know, Jacob and Molly and Abigail and Esther, that when they have their own families, that they would now want that nearness and closeness as a family with God, mm-hmm. and that they would perpetuate devotions.
Well, SRN News doesn't care about devotions, but we need to close out the program. What's the church website again so they can see this in print, how to make your kids hate devotions? And hopefully as you read through it, you can take to heart some of the things we've said and think it through and share it with a friend or a neighbor and then help your kids draw near to God, Almighty God.
Sure. It's communityfreechurch.com. Click on the family tab and from there follow the link to our family website, and it's under our family ministry tab. But when you get to the family website, do me a favor. I spent a lot of time, a bunch of people spent a lot of time building that up and pouring some resources and continue to grow. Go through all of that. We got a space for men. We got a space for women. We have a space for families. We got a space for kids. Well, our goal is just to empower you to be the best possible parent, mother, father, kid that you can possibly be so that you can bring glory to God.
And that's communityfreechurch.com.
You betcha.
Communityfreechurch.com under the family tab. That concludes our recorded conversation from a few days ago. Co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo is enjoying his time on a much-needed vacation in Florida. So this Friday, I'll fill in the program with lots of music of Steve Green, Twyla Paris, and Jan Mulder as they're coming to the Virginia Theater for our Community Appreciation Concert this Saturday. Get your tickets now. Got to close out. The third caller will get a copy of Jessica Thompson's new book, Exploring Grace Together, 40 Devotionals for the Family. Right now, the third caller, during the morning edition, and when this re-airs in the evening, at this point in the program, the third caller will get a copy of the book. Dial now, 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.